Dear Cheap Astronomy, how does the Higgs boson fit with Einstein's relativity theory? A lot of people are starting to ask this now. With the Higgs boson confirmation last year and the Nobel Prize for confirming its existence this year. The interaction between the Higgs boson and the Higgs field is what creates inertial mass. So if you imagine a mass floating out in fairly empty interstellar space, you will have to exert a force on it to move it forward. And you will have to exert more force to move a bowling ball than you will to move a golf ball. This is because the bowling ball encapsulates more matter than the golf ball does, which means it has more Higgs bosons than the golf ball does, and those Higgs bosons create more drag on the Higgs field, a field which apparently pervades the entire universe. All that said, though, the standard Higgs analogy, where Higgs bosons create drag through the Higgs field, like parachutes create drag through the air, is not a particularly good analogy. The Higgs interaction only resists acceleration. Any mass can move at a constant velocity through a vacuum, potentially forever, without it ever experiencing the slightest amount of drag. This is, after all, Newton's first law of motion. But anyway, let's now take the bowling ball and the golf ball and drop them off the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And since this is a thought experiment, let's have them drop in a vacuum. As you might guess, although they are two very different masses, they both accelerate at the same rate and hit the ground at the same time. Newton would have argued that the mass of the Earth and the masses of the two balls are important here. The more massive bowling ball experiences a stronger gravitational interaction with the Earth than the less massive golf ball does. But Newton's second law of motion tells us that the more massive bowling ball needs more force to achieve the same acceleration as the less massive golf ball does. So the outcome is that both the bowling ball and the golf ball end up accelerating at exactly the same rate, and they hit the ground at exactly the same time. The Higgs interaction explains this scenario in much the same way. The more massive bowling ball, which might have accelerated faster than the golf ball, experiences more Higgs field resistance than the golf ball does. So, both the bowling ball and the golf ball end up accelerating at the same rate, and they hit the ground at the same time. So, the Higgs interaction is really just a different way of expressing Newton's second law. That is, you need a stronger force to equivalently accelerate a heavier mass. But of course, Newton's second law and Einstein's relativity don't see eye to eye. Newton assumed that if you kept increasing the force acting upon a certain mass, you could accelerate that mass indefinitely, or indeed, infinitely. Einstein effectively proved that nothing can be accelerated faster than the speed of light. And hence Newton's second law of motion breaks down at very high velocities. There will always come a point where you just can't accelerate a mass any further, regardless of the amount of force that you exert upon it. So, the Higgs boson fills a gap in the quantum physics-based standard model by explaining mass, but it doesn't manage to explain the behaviour of mass at high velocities, and it doesn't manage to explain gravity. Indeed, the whole of quantum physics doesn't really manage to explain gravity. So, the Higgs boson discovery has done little to heal the current schism between relativity theory and quantum mechanics. All it really does is to provide further support for the quantum theory perspective. Empirical science keeps finding new evidence to support the claims of Einstein's relativity. although empirical science also keeps finding evidence to support the claims of quantum physics. So for now, we suggest that if you can fit the Higgs boson and relativity theory together, you should hire a tux or an evening dress and book your flight to Stockholm, where another Nobel Prize will surely await you.